Considering the character of Clarence, I thought, Shakespeare absorbed almost all of the whole. Now that's a goal. That's a vision that can't bite you in the ass because the earth backs it. It's quite disturbing to see Shakespeare begging child princes for money to write and produce his plays. But the result speaks for itself. And that's an interesting discussion, too. One day, maybe we'll have the luxury of having. He shows us power despite. We saw what happened to Collingbourne last week when he looked too closely at power. Shakespeare had to do a mad dance on that egg. He looks directly at the power guys, and they don't like to be scrutinized. And saying this is why I thought of that line from Clarice to Hannibal Lecter. How about it? Why don't you focus some of that high-powered insight on yourself? Or maybe you're afraid to. Recall the character of the prince, his vision and his troubled soul, his ever-seekingness, the fact that he can only pursue his vision if we aren't aware he's doing it, and the exceedingly strong need, given all of this, for a huge self-belief. This quote from Virginia Woolf, modified, sheds even more light on this question. I had an interesting, by the way, exchange with when I was hawking books with a man who, when I started talking about the subject matter, he said, "No, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear it. You're going to pollute my mind." And I said to him, "I sure wish I could see the pristine place that is your mind." But it shows how deeply they need that self-belief, that certainty. It's all, it's everything. Just as Virginia, she called it. She's talking about the professor to not letting women into academia, but it's the same dynamic. And we've taken these expressions of it back to the source, because that's the only way to end a system called class. The root of it is in that. Plato's Republic, and the longing to establish it. She writes, possibly when the prince insisted a little too emphatically about the inferiority of we who do the work, he was concerned not with our inferiority, but with his own superiority. That was what he was protecting rather hot-headedly and with too much emphasis, because it was a jewel to him of the rarest price. Life for both sexes, and I looked at them, shouldering their way along the pavement, is arduous, difficult, a perpetual struggle. It calls for gigantic courage and strength. More than anything, perhaps, creatures of illusion as we are, it calls for confidence in oneself. Without self-confidence, we are as babes in the cradle. We who do the work have served all these centuries as looking glasses, possessing the magic and delicious power of reflecting the figure of the prince at twice its natural size. Without that power, probably the earth would still be swamp and jungle. The glories of all our wars would be unknown. Unquote. But perhaps the potent reason is the best one. That if we make them out by their acts, if we see the hidden hand that wears the stain and rigs the rules, the game, then that's the end of rigging. And all thought for them of winning. And if they can't win, well then, oh my goddess, they'd be common. And common to them means the fall of the paterfamilias of the tribe of Plato. The power of conviction is such that when its feathers are plucked, its magician trick exposed, and it can't stand up for the cold, it shrinks to its immature stature, and we see that what caused such havoc was just a shiveringly small and unloved child. As in the closing credit sequence of the film Men in Black, when we see that the power wreaking havoc with the world was but a child ignored, with means, grown mean, and bored.